Begin the current daf in Masechet Chagiga, daf Yud Ches. We begin two lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had opened up in the Mishnah talking about which karbanis one is allowed to bring on Yom Tov, and which most definitely cannot be brought on Shabbos, which the Gemara segued into a discussion regarding how do we know that regarding Shavuos, if you don't bring it on the one day of Shavuos that there is, you can still make up for it. You could be Chagig V'Hoylech Kol Shev, you could bring your Karban Chagiga for all 7 days, just like we find by Pesach and by Sukkot, that you could bring it for the rest of the 7 or 8 days. So the Gemara on the previous staff brought two different sources for this halacha, which the Gemara said that we need to have both sources to teach you that although one can bring it for that specific amount of 7 days, but it's not going to be forbidden in Asiyas Malacha. Now the Gemara brings a third interpretation for the source of how we know that there's Tashlum and Latzeres, that one, if you didn't bring it on Shavuos itself, even though now it's past the Yom Tov, you can still bring it and complement and bring up for that time of 7 days. So the Gemara brings Rish Lakish Amar, he brings a pasuk in Shemois that says, V'chag HaKotzer, and the Yom Tov of the reaping, which says of Bikuri Masech, of the first fruits, which that is said in the context of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is called Chag HaKotzer. Now, on that Rish Lakish says, Ezehu Chag Shato Chagig V'Kotzer, by which Yom Tov is it that you are Chagig, because it's calling it Chag HaKotzer. You're having a Chagiga, you're having a Yom Tov, and yet you're reaping at the same time. Havoim Ezeh Tzeres, you would say that's Shavuos, because that's the time of when the Ketzir happens, when the reaping is. Now, Amos, when exactly are you reaping? If you're going to say it's on Yom Tov itself, on Shavuos, Ketzir b'Yom Tov Mishari, are you allowed to reap? Do one of the Lamatas Melachas on Yom Tov? Elalav l'tashlumen. You can't do it. Must be. That's talking about for the supplemental time. And therefore, you see this concept that it's considered on some level the Yom Tov for the 7 days from Shavuos going forward. And therefore, it's considered Chag, but yet at the same time, you could do Katzer because it's not the Yom Tov itself, and that's a source for the halacha of Teshlum and Latzeres. But on that, the Gemara asks on this interpretation. Amar Rabbi Yechon said to Rish Lakish, Elamiyata, if that's the way you're interpreting the pasuk of Chag HaKatzer, that it's a Yom Tov, yet at the same time, you're actually doing the malacha of reaping, and therefore must be that it's in the post time for the next 7 days and not on Yom Tov itself, and therefore you see that you, however, could bring the karbanis. But then there, it says in the pasuk over there also Chag HaAsaf. One of the Shalosh Regalim is besides Shavuos is also the Yom Tov of the gathering. Now, Ezeh Chag Shesh Bayasif. For which Yom Tov is that a reference to that one gathers in all the produce? Havayim Ezeh Chag HaSukkos, because in Shavuos one reaps and then one leaves it out to dry, and then Sukkos they bring it all into the house. That's the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Now, Emas, when would this be that it's the Chag? It's Yom Tov, but it's Asifa, but you could do the Malacha, you could gather in, you could do Ma'amr, you could bring in all the produce. If it's on Yom Tov itself, Malacha b'Yom Tov Mishari, are you allowed to do Malachas on Yom Tov? Ela b'Chol HaShamayit. So what are you going to say? It's on the intermediary days where you're allowed to do Malacha. But Chol HaShamayit Mishari, do you think you're allowed to do Malacha even on Chol HaMayit? Although there are, as we'll see in this daf, that there are certain heterim, but in general, generic Malachas to be done are not permitted on Chol HaMayit either. So what are you going to interpret? Ela, rather, what do you have to say when it says Chag HaAsav? Chag Habo Bizman Asif, it doesn't mean to say that you're going to have the Chag at the same time doing a Malach of gathering. It means it comes at the time period of the year when there's gathering being done. Achanami Chag Habo Bizman Ketzir Hill, so it doesn't mean Chag that you'll have be Chagig and at the same time you'll be Kaitzer to teach you the Halach of Tashlumen. And therefore, Rabbi Yechon rejects the interpretation of Rish Lakish. It just means it's at the time of the year when one is, regarding one's produce, that one will be reaping, that's when Shavuos comes. But obviously, there's no source to show you that it's the Chag, that at the same time is Kaitzah, just like you wouldn't say B'Chag HaAsav, that you're going to be having a Chagiga at the same time that you're being Asif. So the Gemara rejects Rish Lakish's interpretation. However, the Gemara does say Machlal. Well, one could infer from what Rabbi Yechon told Rish Lakish regarding that, he said, you think you can gather in the produce? You think you could do a malacha on Chol HaShamayit? Now, moreover, Rish Lakish didn't respond and say, yes, of course, Chag HaAsav is the same as Chag HaKotzer. You could do it during Chol HaShamayit, you could do malacha and gather it in. So from the fact that he didn't respond that, and Rabbi Yechon told him that, so you can infer the Tavayu Svir Lahu, the Chol HaShamayit, Asabasis Malacha. Obviously, they both hold that it's forbidden to do malacha on the intermediary days of Pesach and Sukkot. So the Gemara asked Menonimili, where do we know this? What's the source for the Isra of Malacha to be done on Chol HaShamayit? So the Gemara brings five different sources for this halacha. The term on like we know in the Braisa. It's a pasuk in Shemais that says, as Chag HaMatzah is Tishmer Shibbos Yom, the Yom Tov of Pesach, one should safeguard for 7 days. Salimid al Chalish al Moed, Sha'asa Basis Malacha, that teaches you regarding the intermediary days that they're forbidden to have Malacha done in it, because the way this interpretation is saying it is that it's saying Eschag HaMatz is Tishma. Now, every terminology of Tishma, of safeguarding, is a negative prohibition, which means to say, what shouldn't you do? You shouldn't be doing a Malacha. And therefore you see that it's for all 7 days. Biyesha learns from this pasuk, what's tishmer? Don't do, stop. Stop what? Stop malacha. And that's for all 7 days, as the pasuk says, Shabbos Yamim. So you see that it's even for Chol HaMoed days. Rabbeinu Naimer, he says a different source. He says a second interpretation. He says, in the tzarech, you don't need that. You don't have a tab of Jewish from the pasuk. Because Kal v'chaymer, you know it from a halachic midah of Kal and Chaymer. Because Umar Rishon Bishvi, if we find regarding the first day of Pesach and the seventh day, She'in Kedush Lefnei Lachreya, and where there's no sanctity before the first day, neither is there after the seventh day, yet Asar Basis Malacha, and still they're forbidden to have Malacha done on them. So Chalash Al Mayid, She'esh Kedush Lefnei Lachreya, and where they have sanctity before and after, because the bookends of Chalash Al Mayid, before is the first day, which the Pasuk says forbidden to have Malacha done, it has Kedusha. And the seventh day is afterwards, where it says it also has Kedusha. Ain't a din shehi asa basis malacha, so isn't a kal v'chaymer, if something that is more kal than them, in this level of sanctity, the first and seventh, yet they're still forbidden to have the Malacha done by them, so this Chol HaMoed, which is essentially more chamer in the sense that it's surrounded by sanctity, all the more so for sure it's forbidden to have Malacha done in them. But the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yonasan, because Sheshes and Mevereshes Vechichu, the sixth day of the week, could disprove that logic. Because you have every single week, Shesh Kedush Lefnei Lachrein, every 6 days of every week, you have sanctity before and afterwards. In other words, the bookends is the two Shabbosis, that there's a Shabbos before Sunday, and then there's a Shabbos after Friday, which are the 6 days of the week, and yet Ubitar Matzis Malacha. So essentially, it's the same categorization as Chalash Amayr, and yet it's still permitted to do Malacha. So the Gemara answer is no, it's not, that doesn't disprove the Kal v'chaymer. Because Malashesh and Mevereish is because you can't prove to me from the 6 days of the week, Shein Bem Kabba Musaf. There's no Kabba Musaf that's brought on the 6 days of every week. But Tamer B'chilash HaMoyit Shesh B'Kabba Musaf. But how can you tell me that we shouldn't make the Kal v'chaymer by Chilash HaMoyit when you bring a Kabba Musaf? So you see that there is an element of where it's, we could definitely insert Kedusha in the sense of forbidding Malacha, because there's a Kabba Musaf. It's part of the Yom Tov. So for sure we should say Kal v'chaymer, and you can't disprove it from the 6 days of the week. But the Gemara says, what, you're going to tell me because it has a carbon musaf, so it's going to be asa b'siz malacha? But Resh Chodesh yichiach. Resh Chodesh could disprove that. Because sheyesh b'carbon musaf, umut b'siz malacha. Resh Chodesh, you bring a carbon musaf on every first of the month, and yet still it's permitted to have malacha done. So that you shouldn't wonder regarding Chol HaMoed, that it should also have be permitted with malacha, just like a regular weekday that also has Shabbos before and Shabbos after, and the fact that it has musaf, so Resh Chodesh also has musaf, and yet still it's permitted to do malacha. Nothing more says no, you can't even disprove it from Resh Chodesh. Because Mal Resh Chodesh, she'in kor mikra kodesh. Yes, you bring a couple of musaf, so that's a stage up. But it's not called a holy convocation, it's not called mikra kodesh. Tem v'chalash amayit, she'kar mikra kodesh. If it's called mikra kodesh, so hoyl v'kar mikra kodesh, since it's called that already, so that obviously says we consider it almost on par with the Yom Tov itself. So dinu sha'asa b'siz malacha sadir, it's kal v'chaymer. It makes sense to say that if it's between the two sanctities of the first and the last days of Yom Tov, that and it's called mikra kodesh, and it's kavah musaf, that makes sense to say that a kal v'chaymer would say that if they don't have kedusha lefnei lachera, and yet they still are asa b'siz malacha, for sure, chalash amayit should be asa b'siz malacha. Now the Gemara brings Tanya Idech Lun, another b'risa, a third source for this isra b'siz malacha on chalash amayit. It's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, "Komalachas avoido lo isasu." Any work of malacha one should not do. Now it says near that pasuk, "Shibas yamim takriva isha." That's for 7 days you should bring a carbon. So limad achol shemayit sha'asa b'siz malacha. That teaches you regarding the intermediary days that it's forbidden to have malacha done, because the way that the Gemara is expounding it is that lo isasu, this that one shouldn't do malacha, is going back on this that says Shibas Yamim in the Pasuk near it, which told about the Yom Tov of Sukkot, and that's the interpretation of Dribi Saglili, where it says, don't do Malacha, and it says, Shivas Yam Takriv Isha. So the word Shivas Yam is connected to Leisasu, so you see that the Isa Malacha is all 7 days, which again includes the days of Chol HaMoed, which are in between, making up that number 7. Kivayim, he brings a fourth interpretation. He says, in the Tzarech. He also says, similar to the previous Bryce, so he says, you don't have to have a Drush from the Pasuk. Because the Rehu Oimer, it says a pasuk in Yikra that says Eilu Moyadei Hashem BeGoimer, that these are the Yom Tevim Hashem, where the Goimer, the conclusion of the pasuk is in Yikra Chav Gimel Dalad, that these are Mikra Kodesh Asher Tikra Isam BeMeyadam. These are days which one should call out on the Yom Tevim. So the fact that it's calling the Yom Tev as the Mikra Kodesh sounds like that it's sanctifying it. What's the sanctification? The word Kodesh means to separate. That it's forbidding Malacha. Now, what is the Pasuk Rabbi Kiva saying, talking about when it's coming to forbid Malacha to be done? In Berishon, if it's on the first day of Yom Tov, Rikvar Nemer Shabbosin already tells us that it's cessation, that one should stop and not do Malacha. In Bishvi, if the seventh day of the Yom Tov, Rikvar Nemer Shabbosin already says again in the Pasuk explicitly, Shabbosin, cessation. So it must be the Pasuk is only talking about what's left over. The intermediary days, coming to teach you that imachal shemayid is what the pasuk is saying, that it's mikra kodesh, that it's aser b'sis malacha. Now the Gemara brings a fifth source. Tanya Duch learned another brisa. It says in the pasuk, sheishes yamim teichal matzahs, 6 days one should eat matzahs, ubiyam shvi atzeres l'Hashem, on the seventh day one should stop for Hashem. Now on that, there's a hekesh, there's a comparison between the sheishes yamim and the seventh day. And that is mashvi, also just like the seventh day we see that one should stop from malacha, which that's the context of the pasuk there where it says leisasa malacha. So avsheishes yamim, so that means that the first part of the pasuk, which says the 6 days, also is going to be a reference to atzur, and that one should stop and not do malacha. And therefore you say the chalash amayid, which makes up from those 6 days, one should also not do malacha. However, I would think imashvi atzibucha malacha, if the seventh day, which is a full-fledged yom, is forbidden to do any malacha, so too, the 6 days, in other words, the days of Chol HaMoed, should share that characteristic of forbidding all malacha. Again, besides Eichel Nefesh, Tam Alayim, so that's what the Pasuk teaches you to know. Ubayim HaShvi, it says. On the seventh day, you totally stop. That is, HaShvi Atzur B'chol Malacha, on the seventh day, on Yom Tov itself, then you stop all malacha. But Vein Shishriyam Atzur B'chol Malacha, however, on the 6 days, you don't stop from all malacha. So what does that mean? So you're not allowed to do malacha, but not all malacha. So what does that mean? So that means that to say that the Pasuk left it only for the sages to tell you. In other words, from the fact that the Pasuk tells you that not to do malacha, but we're not forbidding all malacha, but it doesn't tell you which ones are mutter, which ones are aser, so you have to understand that obviously the Pasuk gave it over to the sages to discern and know where to say what's mutter and where to say what's aser. Now they told you, Eza Yoim, which day is considered Yom Tov, and that's based on the halacha of Kiddush HaChodesh, where they sanctify the moon. So they tell you which day becomes Yom Tov based on their calculations, which makes it usher, forbidden in any type of malacha. Now, they also told you the Eza Yom, which day is Chol HaShamayid, and then therefore it's mutter, that it's not forbidden in all malacha. Now, so regarding Chol HaShamayid, where is this somewhere in the middle, they told you that Eza Malacha Asura, which malacha is forbidden, and that's the halacha that if there's no big loss of money, one is not allowed to do malacha. Ve'ezu malacha muteres, and they also told you which malacha is permitted, and that's halacha commonly known as davar ha'avad. If there's going to be a big loss, then one could go ahead and do a malacha. But again, that was left up to the sages to interpret what's permitted and what's us, and therefore that's the five sources of how we know that we saw that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both obviously agree that Chol HaShamayid is forbidden to have malacha done on the day of Chol HaShamayid. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of our Mishnah, where we spoke about that if Shavuos, and that's how we get into the discussion about the Tashlumen of Shavuos for 7 days, if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos. So he said that, okay, according to everybody, you can't go ahead and bring your Karbanos on Shabbos itself, although there's a Machlekes regarding the Yom Tov between Yisham Yisil, but on Shabbos you cannot. So the following day is called Yom Tevayach, is the day of the slaughtering. It's not really Shavuos, because Shavuos was on Shabbos, but you have to bring your Karbanos for the 7 days, so you bring it on Sunday. Now the Mishnah told us, Mutarin behest v'vatainis, although generally on the Yom Tov you're not allowed to eulogize or fast, but on this day you're allowed to eulogize and fast. And the reason why is shalei lekayim es divrei ha'omrim atzeres achar Shabbos, that we shouldn't fall into the trap of those who claim that there's no Torah Shabbat Peh. Those are the Tzedukin, the Beisusin. They say that, look at the Pasuk, translate the written law as it says. And it says, mimachras ha'Shabbos, from the day after, which Chazal interpret otherwise. But they say means that it has to be on the Sunday, and therefore Shavuos on the Sunday. And therefore, if we're doing the Yom Tevayach on Sunday, even though really Shavuos is Shabbos, and we're going to not fast and do all the things like a Yom Tov, they're going to say, ha, we see, that really is, like we said, that Shavuos has to be on the Sunday. And therefore, to come exclude from that type of reasoning, we say that although we're going to be doing the Yom Tovich on Sunday, but don't treat it like a full-fledged Yom Tov, and therefore you could eulogize and you could fast. Now that the Gemara asks, and the Gersa is for Tani, but we're in the Braisa, Maisu Meis Alech Sabalud. There was an incident where there was someone called Alexa that passed away in Lud. But Nichnusu Kol Yisrael L'Saifta, and all the Jewish people came to eulogize him. But V'loi Nichim Rav Tarfa did not allow them. Neshe Yom Tov Shalat Sarasai, because it was the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And on Yom Tov, you don't go ahead and be Masper. Now, the question is, Yom Tov Sakat Aydach, can you entertain that it was Yom Tov? Ibi Yom Tov Mikos, if it was Yom Tov, would people come to be Masper? Everyone knows on Yom Tov, you don't go ahead and be Masper and eulogize. Say, Le'ema, what you have to say, what the Braisa was saying, Neshe Yom Tovayachai, it must be that it was the day of the slaughtering, and yet still Rav Tarfa did not allow them to be Masper. And that contradicts our Mishnah, which said that the Yom Tovayach is permitted to have a Hesped. So how do we resolve this contradiction? I think when it says, Lekash, is not a difficulty. Ha Khan, this case of the Braisa of Alexa in Lod, was B'Yom Tov Shechaliyas Achar Shabbos. There was Shabbos, so you couldn't bring your Korbanos then. And then there was Shavuos, which was on a Sunday, where, therefore, the Yom Tovayach wasn't on the Sunday. If Yom Tov is not on the Sunday, then there's nothing to be concerned about to Tzedukin, because their whole thing is that the Shavuos has to be on the Sunday. Here, the Yom Tovayach is actually going to be on a Monday. So therefore, if the Yom Tovayach is on Monday, we're not going to go ahead and be concerned about that if we should treat it like a chash of a day like it is, because we're bringing all the karbanas now, because Monday, they're not going to celebrate that, oh, wow, we're right, because they said it has to be on the Sunday. Can the Yom Tovayach is B'Shabbos? Our Mishnah was talking about that if the Yom Tovayach, if let's say Shavuos falls on Shabbos, it comes out that the day of the slaughtering is on Sunday, then we said it's permitted to eulogize and to fast because of those, the Tzedukim that said that, oh, Atzeres, Shavuos has to be Achar Shabbos on Sunday, and therefore, you see, look, Shavuos is on Shabbos, and you have to bring all the karbanos and the dressing like it's Yom Tov, but they're not doing all these prohibitions of Yom Tov, they're not eulogizing, not fasting. There we said in our Mishnah that you're permitted to do all these things, we don't want you to dress like exactly Yom Tov, that the Tzedukim shouldn't think they're right. But the case of Alexa, that was talking about that it was on Monday, Yom Tovayach. It's on Monday, it's not going to reinforce their opinion, and therefore one should not go ahead and eulogize and fast and treat it like an honorable day like it is, because it is ultimately the day that we bring the karbanos of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, where we begin the new Mishnah, which Rashi tells us that why we're discussing over here for the next part of this Masechta, talking about the halachas of Tumah and Tahara, is because regarding the context of this Masechta of the halachas of Yom Tov, which that's what we're talking about, the karbanos of Chagiga, which is the Yom Tov that we have with the Shalosh Regalim. And the reason is because at the end of this whole discussion of Tumah Tahara, it will come pertaining to the halachas of Yom Tov. And that's the halacha that Amir Ratzim, ignoramuses, that although generally we consider, as we'll see in our Mishnah, what they touch to be Tameh, but in the Yom Tov we consider, in contrast to the rest of the year, we consider what they touch to be Tahar, which the Gemara will explain on Daf Chavav Mad Aleph, and that's why we introduce the whole discussion over here, beginning in our Mishnah, regarding the halachas of Tumah and Tahar. So the Mishnah begins, Neitlan Liyadayim. One has to do what's called washing one's hands, L'chulin, when they come in to eat regular unconsecrated produce, Ula Meiser, which that's the tenth that one takes off of the produce, that's Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, which Meiser Rishon is given to Leviim, Meiser Sheni is that one eats that second tithe by himself in Yerushalayim, Ula Truma, and if one is coming to eat Truma, regarding all these three categories, it's enough to just take a cup, a vessel, and to wash one's hands, you only need what's called a revius of Mayim. Now, however, Ula Kaidish, but if someone's coming to consume a carbon shlamim, for example, let's say he's Yisrael, or if he's a Kayin and he's coming to eat a carbon chatas or a carbon ashim, so you're talking about kudshim, then matvilin. Then there's a higher level that we require that you have to be immerse your hands into 40 sa, which is generally the required shear of a mikvah. Now, although generally, stam yadayim, which means to say that it didn't touch anything that was conveys Tumah on a biblical level that will then transmit Tumah to the entire body, and therefore you don't have to go ahead and immerse your whole entire body. However, since there's a halacha that the Chacham enacted that we're concerned about regular hands that we don't know what it touched, what it didn't, and therefore they required a halacha of Netilas Yadayim, so although for, let's say, Chul and Mais and Truma, all you have to do is wash your hands with a revius, but regarding Kodesh, it's a higher level that you don't have to immerse your whole body, but you have to at least immerse your hands into a mikvah of 40 sa. Now, ulchatas, which that is to touch what's called the mechatas. Those are the waters that were sanctified with the ashes of the paraduma, which are used to spray on somebody that became tummy from touching a corpse, where there's even a higher level that we gave regarding that level of sanctity. There the halacha is, im nitmu yadav, if a person's hands became tummy, but obviously not by touching something that actually biblically transmits tummy, because then it doesn't make a difference what you touched or where you touched, then your whole entire body becomes tummy. Here we're talking about that your hands touch one of the things that only transmits tummy to your hands and not to your body. For example, a vlada tummy, or if one touched a sefer tayru, or any things that conveys tummy only rabbinically, then nitma gufay, then we say that his whole entire body became tummy, and therefore he has to immerse his whole entire body. Now, as we explained, that all these milas, all these levels, one above from the other, requiring either until Zidayim, or immersing in the mikvah, or immersing your whole entire body in the mikvah, these are only medivri seferim, they're only rabbinic. Now, the Mishnah continues, there's also another mila that we gave regarding the discrepancy between different levels of different things of, let's say we said chulin, maaser, truma, kodesh, there's different levels, so there's a discrepancy regarding this area too. Tava l'chulin, if someone immersed himself for the intention that so that he could go ahead and eat chulin, so then huchzik l'chulin. So huchzik means to say then he's established, which means to say that's a terminology of kavan, of intent. In other words, that means to say that he intended to then establish his body in the chazakah, in the establishment of being tahar for chulin. Hence, what that means is, since chulin is the lowest down, so to speak, on the levels of things that require tahara, so asla meiser. So then, regarding, let's say, meiser sheni, which is the second tithe one takes off after he gives the truma to the kohen, the meiser rishon to the levi, that's the first tithe, and then he takes the second tithe of all his produce and eats that in Yerushalayim, then he's forbidden to eat that. That has a higher level of sanctity than the chulin. So although he was matar himself by immersing for chulin, but that wouldn't work for something that was higher, let's say, meiser. Similarly, tava l'maiser, hosuk l'maiser. If he immersed himself that because he wanted to eat maiser, so that means he established his tahara for maiser, so asa l'truma. That means to say he didn't establish his purity for the higher level of truma, and therefore be forbidden to eat truma. Tava l'truma, hosuk l'truma. But asa l'kodesh, which is even higher for kachem, for a carbon in the base of Migdash, although he immersed for truma, he can't have a kodesh. Tava l'kodesh, hosuk l'kodesh. If he went and immersed for Karbonis, so good, he's established for Karbonis, but Aslachatas, he's forbidden for the Meichatas, which the purification orders of being Matar Ameis, that he's not considered Tara for. As we said, that same discrepancy regarding levels of Natilas Yudayim or Guf or in the Mikvah, same thing, we find similarity in discrepancy regarding if you immerse for a certain intention, it works only for that one, but not for the most stringent one. However, the Mishnah does tell us, Tavel l'chomer, if you immerse yourself for the more stringent one, so mutter l'kal, then you're permitted in the one that's lower down. So if you, let's say, you immersed for truma, then you'll be mutter in maaser and chulin. If, however, but you would still be aser in the high ones of kodesh and chatas. Now the Mishnah tells us, tavel v'loy huchzik. If, let's say, one immersed, but it didn't intend for his tefillah to be tahara, rather he's just bathing in the pool, it just happens to be a mikvah. Kilo loy tavel, the Mishnah tells us, as if he didn't immerse, you have to have intention. And we said, whatever you intend for, it'll work for that or for lower, but not for higher. And if you didn't have any intention, it doesn't work at all. Now, the Mishnah continues with a similar differences that we are differentiating, as we said, regarding levels of chul n'maiser. Now, the Mishnah makes differentiations not in what one is coming to consume or to be involved with, but rather the one who is involved, the person, that there's differences in people regarding what tumah they transmit. So Mishnah says, Bigdei Amoraitz, the garments of ignoramuses. As we said, this is why we're introducing this, because we said the Amoraitz and we consider them Tamei, but on the regal, on the Yom Tov, we consider them Tahar. So regarding their clothing, so the Mishnah tells us they're considered a Midras, which is a type of Tumo, literally translated as treading, Leprushin, and that is, we consider their clothing as an Av HaTumo, which means to say, an Av HaTumo, it's Avi Avois HaTumo, is a dead person. Av HaTumo is someone that touched a dead person. Now, regarding medrash, which is when a zav steps on something, so then we consider that itself like the zav himself, and therefore becoming an avatum, and that could transmit tumah to a person, to utensils, as the pasuk says in Mikra Tezvav, v'esh asher yiga b'mishkavi, if someone touches his bed, which the Zav had sat on, Yichabes Begalav, he has to wash his clothing. It transmits Tumah to Kalim. And therefore, the garments of the Amoraites, we consider them, even a Zav, because they don't know, they're not familiar, they're not careful about the halachas of Tahara. And therefore, they're considered as Tumah of Medrash Leprushin, which means to say, those that are separate, that eat their chulin in Tahara, which is the lowest level of Tahara, which means to say that they're only careful with their chulin, which is the lowest requirements of sanctity, as we spoke about before. So regarding those people, if they touch the garment of Amoraites, we say that he's not careful with the halachas of Tumah Tahara. And if he touches garments, it's very likely that he's a Zav, which transmits Tumah to his garments, and therefore that you touch that, the person becomes Tumah. Now, moving up the ladder, Bigdei Prushin, the garments of Prushin, who, they're not like the Amoraites, they know halachas, but they're only careful regarding the levels of sanctity required for chulin. They don't eat truma or things like kachim. So then medrus leichli truma. We consider their garments as the halachas of a zav that he presses down on his garments, let's say he sat on it. So we consider that as a medrus for those who eat truma, meaning for kahanim. And as Rashi explains again, that all these levels are only rabbinic. Because we say that, look, this person who's careful on his level, Amoritz, is careful also. But it's not considered a safeguarding of Tahara for those who have higher levels of sanctity. In other words, for the things that they're involved with. And therefore, since we consider each one regarding the other one as if he didn't watch it, so we decree regarding them and their garments that maybe his wife, who's a Nida, sat on his clothing. It was on his bed and his wife sat down. And therefore, becomes a medrus of a Nida. As the Gemara explains in Masechta Shulin, and therefore, we're concerned that his clothing, if the other one on the higher level is going to touch that, that you're touching something that was a medrus and hence will transmit Tumah to you. So the garments of the Prushin, who they don't have to be careful, let's say, of Sheni L'Tumah, because Sheni L'Tumah does not transmit Tumah to Chulun. It is a problem for Truma, which could become a Shlishi. So therefore, those who eat Truma, a Kayan touches the garments of the Prushin, he becomes Tumah. Moving up the ladder, Bigdi Echli Truma, the garments of Kahanim, let's say, who just eat Truma, are Medrus L'Kaydish, are considered that for things of karbanas, are considered as if there was touching a garment of medrus. Bigdei kaidish, even if it's garments of people that are involved in karbanas, are medrus lachatas, are considered that it was a medrus, a tuma of a zav or a nida, sitting on it, for those that involve themselves the highest level of sanctity that we're careful about, and that is for the mechatas, for the waters that are used to purify a person that was tummy from a mess. As the Gemara concludes, similarly, with two incidents that Yesib ben Ye'ezer, Hayechasid Shebekuna. Yesib ben Ye'ezer was from the righteous, from the pious ones of Kuhuna, meaning to say of the Eichli Truma. But yet still we consider his kerchief as a Tuma of Medrash for those that are involved in Kaidish, which is a higher level. Similarly, Yechin ben Gudgada, Hayechla Taras HaKaidish Kayam. Of all his days, he ate based on the purity of Kaidish, which means to say that he was particular about even a Shlish L'Tuma, which is not even a problem for Truma, but it could be a problem for Kaidish, which could become a Ravi, which it goes Avi Avais, it goes Av, it goes Avlad, it goes a Shein, it goes a Shlishi, and Kachim could become a Ravi. So he was so careful, and yet we consider his kerchief as a Medrash for Chatas, which is even a higher level of sanctity. So although he was careful for Kaidish, but again, it wouldn't work for something even a higher level than that. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening of our Mishnah. We said that the following three things are the lowest, but they still require Netilas Adayim: chulin, unconsecrated produce, meiser, and truma. So the Gemara asks, chulin, meiser, mibayin, Netilas Adayim, is it true that when one is coming to eat chulin, regular unconsecrated produce, or even meiser, if he's coming to eat meiser, the tithe, that he has to go ahead and wash his hands? But v'ramin, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim that says, hachuma v'habikurim, regarding truma, which that's the either, let's say, a 50th of one's produce that he takes and gives it to the Kohen, and then there's the Bikurim, which are the first fruits that one has from the Shebis Aminim he brings to the Kohen. Now, as Rashi says, Bikurim are also called Shuma. As the Gemara says in Sech Lesmakis, Dabi Zayin Min Alav, it says, B'chumas Yedecha, which that's in reference in the Pasuk to Bikurim. And therefore, as we see in this Mishnah Bikurim, that Shuma and Bikurim have the similar halachas. So, the Mishnah there tells us that regarding Shuma and Bikurim, Chayom Nalein Misa, that if a zar, if a non-Kohen eats from Truma Bikurim, deliberately, he's chayv for death. As the Pasuk says, Umesu b'kiyich al-aluhu, that they will be killed because they have desecrated it, And it says over there, B'chol zar lo yechol kodesh, that any non-kohen is not allowed to eat that holy thing. And what does it mean, kodesh, over there in the context? It's tamat truma. And therefore, we see that one gets misa for eating it. Another thing they have in common is b'chaymish. If someone eats truma b'kurim by mistake, there it says in the pasuk, v'ish ke yechol kodesh b'ish gaga, v'yesef chamishi say Allah, as the pasuk says, v'yikra chav beis, and then he has to add, besides paying for the karen, for the principal, he has to add a fifth to that. Another thing they have is about asal azarm, as we said, that there's a negative prohibition for a non-kohen to eat truma and bikurim. And behein nichzi kohen, both bikurim and truma are the kohen's own private property, and that means, say, it's like his own money that he can go ahead and he can be mekadesh, he can engage, betroth a woman with that, he could go ahead and buy slaves and land with that, and non-kosher animal, he could do whatever he wants with it, it's his own money. And ba'olam be'echad emeya, both truma and bikurim, if for it to become batal, to become nullified, if it gets mixed into other non-consecrated produce, it has to have 100-to-1 ratio. But less than that, it wouldn't be, rather than all of it, even all that chulin would be prohibited for a non-kohen to eat. And also, the tu'una nitilas yadayim. Both bikurim and truma, before one comes to eat it, needs to have the washing of the hands. And that's because a sheni can make these things, truma and bikurim, a shlishi. As we said, that truma is susceptible and vulnerable to becoming a shlishi, which means that it could have a transmission of tumah from a sheni. Now, regarding hands, even if you don't know that you touched anything tumah, the chazal had been geyser, as the Gemara explains elsewhere in Masechtas Zavim, that there's a halacha that we consider it as a tumah of sheni. Generic hands, we consider that it's a sheni. Now, therefore, that would invalidate truma if you don't take netilas yadayim, because that means to say the hands, before you wash it to purify it, it's considered a sheni, and truma and bikurim could be vulnerable to becoming a shlishi, so that you have to wash your hands. And v'harav shemesh, and also one requires sundown. That is, if someone becomes biblically tamei, and then he immerses himself, he can't eat truma until he has sundown, as the Gemara Masechtas Yevamah stuff, Ayin Da'alam Abayz, learns from Psukim, that you only become tamei, you only become tahar to eat truma and bikurim after harav shemesh, after sundown. Now the Mishnah tells us, Hare'ele b'trum and bikurim. These are the things that apply b'trum and bikurim. Masha ein kein b'maiser, which obviously that it, however, doesn't apply to maiser, b'kolash gen b'chulin, and all the more so it doesn't apply b'chulin. As Rashi illustrates, that there's no halacha of misa, and neither is there a penalty of a fifth, and neither is it forbidden for a non-kain to eat maiser, and for sure not chulin, because that Meiser Sheni is eaten by a non-kohen. It's that the person takes his own produce, brings it up to Yerushalayim. Now, although Rashi says that there is a fifth, that if one comes to redeem his Meiser, and then instead of bringing up the produce itself, he brings up the money and then goes ahead and purchases other things with that in Yerushalayim, and there is a fifth over there, says that's not the fifth we're talking about over here, because there's no pidyon, there's no redemption like by Meiser Sheni, by Truma. The whole fifth that we're talking about over here that Truma and Bikurim has, and it's not by Meiser, is talking about if one inadvertently eats it inappropriately, then there's a fifth only by Truma and not by Meiser. Moreover, we do not consider Meiser Sheni the nichsi hedyet, that the person himself, as if he owns it, to purchase slaves and land, because it's not true. As the pasuk tells us, one can only use maaser sheni for consumption or for anointing purposes, and neither does one require netilas yadayim, and the reason is very simple, because a sheni, which is what generic hands are, cannot make maaser sheni, and b'shor not chulin, into a shlishi, and neither does one require harav shemesh, because the halacha is that if one becomes tamei and he immerses himself, and then he comes out of the mikvah, so he's considered tful yoyim, didn't have sundown yet, he could eat maaser, as the Gemara learns from Psukim and Masechtas Yevamah and Perek Aral. And as we said, that these halachas of bikurim and truma do not apply to maaser, and for sure not by chulin. So the Gemara asks, kasha maaser, maaser, so you have a contradiction of maaser, and kasha chulin, chulin, you have a contradiction of chulin, where our Mishnah seems to say that you need netilas yadayim, from the Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim, it seems like that the betu'un netilas yadayim is only by Bikurim and Truma, and that makes sense because they can become a shlishi, but you don't require netilas yadayim by Meiser and for sure not by Chulin because they cannot become a shlishi. So why would you need netilas yadayim? So the Gemara answers Bishlam and Meiser, Meiser Kasha. So there's two contradictions. So regarding Meiser, we could say that's not a difficulty because it's actually machloikis between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim. Haremei of Harabanan. They're not like within the Mishnah Masechtas Par. Mishnah there says Kalatoin biyismayim edibri seifim. Anything that requires that you should have a purification of water rabbinically, which means to say that
biblically, you're tahar. But the Chacham were decreed upon it to have tumah. For example, all those things that says in Masechta Shabbos, there was the Yudches Dvar Mandaf Yud Gimel Mabez that says that these are the things that invalidate truma. If someone eats a Noichel Rishon and Noichel Shein, it goes through 18 different things where then it requires one to go ahead and purify himself rabbinically. So then the halacha is Metamei HaKodesh, then that transmits tuma, as we explained what the term tuma means, to Kodesh. For example, what that means is because what Chazal did is they made these 18 things as if there's a tumah of a secondary, what's called a sheni l'tumah. Now, a sheni l'tumah transmits tumah to kodesh, to things of, let's say, karbonis. What does that mean? It means to say that the kachem has the designation of the term of tumah. What tumah means is to say that not only does it become tumah, but it could then go ahead and invalidate something else. So the carbon, let's say, whatever this thing is, that we're saying, let's say, the sefer. If one touches a sefer Torah, one's hands become a sheni l'tuma. So therefore, that will invalidate truma, which could become a shlishi. However, saying regarding kodesh, if you touch with those hands a carbon, so it becomes tummy, because the carbon itself is not only invalidated itself because it's shlishi, it could even go ahead and invalidate another carbon because a carbon could become a revi. However, upaisless a truma, it only invalidates truma, meaning to say that the truma itself becomes invalid, but it cannot go ahead and invalidate anything else to make it into revi, as we said, because truma, the end of the line, is not as sanctified as kudshim, therefore it could only become a shlish l'tuma. If truma, that's a shlish, would touch another truma, it would not make it into revi, it would not be possible. So therefore it's only invalid. But kudshim could become even revi, so if a sheni touches the kudshim, it doesn't just become possible, it becomes even tameh. Hence, it could transmit tuma to another carbon and make that into revi. However, umutu l'chul nulamaiser, regarding all these things that we said that have become a sheni because of the yud ches dvarim, the gzeir that Chazal said that your hand should become a sheni, one is permitted to eat chulin. And the reason is because it didn't say that it doesn't invalidate the chulin. Rather, it said that it's permitted, the opinion of Rav Meir is that it's permitted to have chulin and meiser, which sounds like that you could even consume chulin and meiser with these things that are considered sheni, that's the opinion of Meir. The chachamim, oisim and meiser, the chachamim say it's forbidden by meiser that it does have the same halacha as truma, and therefore that's the resolution of the contradiction. Our Mishnah is like the chacham, who say that meiser would be a problem if a sheni touched it. Hence, it makes sense to say that the opinion of our Mishnah that says you need to have netilas d'ayim even for meiser, because if you don't, then it's going to invalidate it, is like the chachamim. However, that we brought in the Mishnah Masechet Sfekum is going like Rav Meir, who says that meiser and chulin, there's no problem. But the Gemara says, el chulin chulin kasha, but you still left the question regarding chulin. How does our Mishnah require chulin to require netilas d'ayim? There's no shlishi l'tumah by meiser. I think it's loy kasha. It's not a difficulty. Kan, in our Mishnah that required netilas d'ayim, was ba'achila. It was talking about the consumption of chulin. That requires netilas d'ayim. Kan, over here, was talking about binagia, was talking about touching. That is, when you touch, the Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim says, if you touch, then chulin doesn't require netilas d'ayim. But regarding eating, that is like our Mishnah said, that you require netilas d'ayim even for chulin. So that the Gemara asks, Maskal Rav Shimei bar Ashi, how can you say that? Because ad kan lo pligi rabbanu lo d'Rav Meir, we only find this machlokes in Masechtas Parah between rabbanu and Rav Meir, el b'chila de meiser, that was only regarding the consumption of meiser. With it, we had a machlokes. Rav Meir said that one could consume it, and the Chacham said you cannot consume it. Ab negiya de meiser, regarding just touching meiser, u b'chila de chulin, and even the consumption of chulin lo pligi, they never had a machlokes. In other words, you have to say that when the rabbanan said it's aster b'meiser, they were only going on consumption. Because it was talking about a sheni touching, there's no tumah for mice to become a shlishi. And as we learned by Rav Meir that he said it's permitted to eat, that is what the Chacham would argue, and this is that no. Regarding the consumption of mice, that's forbidden. But regarding, so it's only regarding consumption, but even touching mice, that's no problem. But regarding chulin, where everybody agrees, it means to say that they agreed that you could even eat it. So who is the town of our Mishnah? You can't say that our Mishnah is saying that you have to wash even for chulin is when you're eating, because even the chum that they're stringent, they argue in Rav Meir, only say regarding maaser that you can't eat it, but you could even touch it. But regarding chulin, you could even eat it. So who would say in our Mishnah that regarding eating, that it would be a problem regarding chulin? So the Gemara says, Eli idi v'idi b'achili. You're right. Both Mishnahis are talking about eating. But like Kash is not a contradiction. Because Khan, our Mishnah is talking about b'achili de nahama, regarding when you're coming to eat bread. And that's what we know about when we're coming to eat a suda. When eating bread, then even by chulin one requires natilas sidayim. But Khan, over here, where we learned that Masha'in came b'maiser, where we said that, however, all these things apply by Bikurim and Truma, but it doesn't apply by Maiser, which means that one does not need to have Natilas Yadayim. That's Bachil de Peri. That's coming when you're coming to eat produce, fruits, and that is by Maiser, one does not require Natilas Yadayim. However, by Truma, even by Peri, you do need to have Natilas Yadayim, and that's very simply because even touching Truma with a regular Yadayim, Stam Yadayim, that a Sheni, will invalidate it because a Sheni, its Paisel, makes a Truma into a Shlishi. And that is because, like the Amr of Nachman, like Rav Nachman said, the Kalanaitel Yadav LePeiros, whoever washes his hands for Chulin Peiros, for unconsecrated produce, Harezim Megase Heruach. He's considered a Balgaiva, he's considered someone that's haughty of spirit, that he thinks that he's someone that has to wash his hands even for Peiros of Chulin. And therefore, we see that there's no requirement. Actually, it's considered Gaiva. And that's how we resolve the contradiction regarding Chulin. Regarding Maiser, we said that's a machlekes. Regarding if Maiser requires until his daimer or not between a man and the Chachamim. And regarding Chulin, that is a resolution of depending what you're coming to eat. The Mishnah over there that says that by Maiser, that Chulin does not require until his daim is talking about eating everything else, like by Paris. Our Mishnah that requires until his daim, even for Chulin, was talking about if you're coming to eat bread. If you're coming to eat bread, then one must wash hands. Even if it's not Truma or even Maisa, even if it's just Chulin.